Today's shiur is Masechta Erevin Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis and Beis all the way at the bottom of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah, Mishumar Yishmol Amr Talmud Echad. There was a Talmud that said the name of Yishmol in front of Rabbi Kiva. That Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't disagree when you have a Mavi that's less than 4 Amos wide, that a Lechi or Kaira alone are sufficient. Where do they disagree? When you have a Mavi that's between 4 Amos and 10 Amos wide. That's where Beis Shammai requires both a lechi and a kaira, and Beis Hillel are going to hold that a lechi or a kaira alone are enough. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, and he says, al zev azad nechlku, they argue in both types of navi. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva and a Tanakama. Rabbi Kiva's opinion and the Tanakama's opinion are both the same. And Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakama both hold that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree, both by a Mavi which is less than 4 Amos, and by a Mavi that's greater than 4 Amos. And Beis Shammai is always going to require a Lechi v'Kaira, and Beis Hillel is going to require a Lechi or a Kaira. So what is the difference between the Rekiva and the Tanakama? Answers, the Gemara Ikka B'Naida Nafkamina is a Gemara that we discussed in our previous year. The Rav Achli B'Tayim Rav Yechiel, where Rav Achli, or others say Rav Yechiel, taught us that yesterday Rav Achli said that if you have a Mavi whose entrance is narrower than 4 tefachim, there's no need to bring there a lechi or kaira. You could carry the mavi under all circumstances. And one of the tanoim of our Mishnah agrees with Rav Achli's point, halacha, and one of them doesn't. However, v'loy misaymi, we're not quite sure who holds what. So the Rishonim, Tosfos asks that the very mask of v'loy, that the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra teaches us that whenever you have two Tanoim, the rule is Tana Basra L'Tfuya Kasa. That we have two Tanoim stating opinions that seem to be the same, we could always assume that the second Tana is the Machmer, is coming to add past the first Tana. So we have in our Mishnah first the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and then we have the opinion of the Tanakama. First opinion of Tanakama, then the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Isn't that clearly indication that Rabbi Kiva is the Machmer? So they answer, then when do we say this rule of Tana Basra L'Tfuya Asi? Only when the second Tana's opinion is stated immediately after the first Tana's opinion. So since these two opinions are stated one right after the other, so there we have a rule, Tana Basra L'Tfuya Asi. But in a situation where the two opinions are not stated one right after the other, as is the case in our Mishnah, there's the Oysa Talmud in between, there we don't necessarily apply the rule of Tana Basra L'Tfuya Asi. Tana, says the Gemara we learned in the Braisa, Amr Kiva Loi Amr Rabbi Shmuel Davazet. It actually, this is not a statement that was said by Rabbi Shmuel. El Oysa Talmud Amr Davazet. It was that Talmud that said it, Talmud, and that is, the halacha is like that Talmud. So the question that the Rishonim ask, why did that Talmud have to say that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel didn't disagree? In the Machlokes, in the opinion, according to Beis Hillel, according to that Talmud, Beis Hillel will still stick to their opinion, is that you always need either a lechi or a kaira. It turns out the entire Machlokes in our Mishnah evolves around the opinion of Beis Shammai. That according to Beis Shammai, when you have a Mavi whose entrance is less than 4 Amos wide, the halacha is a lechi or kaira is enough. And the other Tanoim hold that Beis Shammai will continue holding that you need to have a lechi in a kaira. So the question is, we know that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. So why are we spending so much time and focus in trying to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai when the halacha is not like Beis Shammai? So the Rishonim answer that in our previous year we learned that Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that according to Beis Shammai, you always have to have two lechis. And that was relevant by a chatzar. That even though by a mavi, as we said a number of times, we're more lenient, we are machma by a chatzar, that we have to have two passim. So now, we're discussing that even though by a chatzar, everybody agrees that under certain circumstances, you have to have two passim. Like Beis Shammai says, according to Rabbi Elazar, now we're learning that according to that Talmud, that if it's less than 4 amos wide, then the halacha will be that you don't have to have even two passim. But as the Gemara, the statement that we just studied is self-contradictory. Hagufa kasha. Amrit, you said, Shloi Le'amar Bishmol Davazer. The Bishmol never made this statement. Alma, so if he never said it, Alma, obviously, less Hilchas Kavasei. That isn't the halacha. And then the next moment you tell us that the halacha, because the Talmud, that's the halacha. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Le'amar Rabbi Kiva. The purpose of Rabbi Kiva saying the statement was L'chadet Bayas HaTalmidim. And as the Rishonim explain, Kedei L'chadet Bayas HaTalmidim is not to be understood that he was testing them to hear what is the halacha, but Kedei L'chadet as a Talmidim means that he was trying to encourage the Talmidim. He was trying to encourage them to show them what a Talmud could accomplish, learn and say Divrei Torah, say Chidushim. Nachman Yitzchak Amar Nirin Itmar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that Rav Kiva never said the word halacha as a Talmud, because the halacha is clearly not like that Talmud. Rather, Rav Kiva used the word Nirin. And as the Rishonim explained, there are two different words. There's the word halacha and there's the word Nirin. The word halacha represents that is indeed the halacha. The word Nirin doesn't represent that is the halacha, but rather the way to understand the word Nirin is that Nirin means that it's a nice opinion. And as the Goyen Yaakov explains the Gemara, what Rabbi Kiva maybe was trying to say now, according to this interpretation, that maybe Rabbi Shmuel did say it. But even if Rabbi Shmuel said it, that isn't the halacha. Says the Gemara, Aram Bishum ben Levi, Kamakam Shata Maitzi, Mishum Rishmol Amit Talmud Echel Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, wherever you find in Shas a statement where a Talmud Echad said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel something to Rabbi Kiva, you should know, Eina Ela Rameyer. Who is the Gemara referring to? Rameyer. Because Rameyer says the Gemara, Shishimesh is Rabbi Shmuel's Rabbi Kiva. He studied both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And as the Mepharshim explained, we find in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Hay, but Memches Dvorim at Torah Niknas, there are 48 ways that the Torah is acquired, and one of them that's mentioned there is Shimesh Chachamim, and the definition of Shimesh Chachamim is by learning by Talmid Chachamim. The Tanya, as the Bryson that teaches us, Amr Mei Kishiyisi Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, when I was learning Torah Rabbi Shmuel, Hayisi Metal Kankatam, I used to put an ingredient into the black ink that causes it to not be able to be erased. And as the Binyoyah explains, kankan represents kankan tom. It's something that makes it tom. It makes it complete, that it shouldn't be erasable. V'lo'emeli dover. And Rishmol never had any issue what I was doing. Shbasi etzo b'kiva. And when I came to b'kiva and he saw that I did this Asrolai, he said I may not do so, and the Gemara will explain soon why. Aini, asked the Gemara, is that what happened? When I was learning by Rabbi Kiva, I used to put this ingredient into the ink. And he didn't say anything to me. And then when I came to learn by Rabbi Shmuel Omeli, he asked me, B'ni ma malachtecha, what do you do for a living? To which I responded, Lavlovarni, I am a cipher. Omeli, so he said to me, B'ni have a zorba malachtecha, be very careful with your job. Shemalachtecha malacha shemayim, your job is a malacha shemayim. Shemata mechaser ois achas, if you leave out a letter, so you add an extra letter, you will be destroying the entire world. Because we know, explains the Sefer Binyan Yadav, that the Torah is called Shamayim, and that's why somebody who is a Sefer is Oisip Melech Shamayim, and somebody who's a Sefer who doesn't do his job properly is Chas V'Sholem, destroying the entire world. And therefore, you have to be extremely careful, he said to him, with what you are doing to make sure that you do it right, because you can't miss or add an extra letter. So Rashi gives the examples. What does it mean? Rashi says that, let's say, in the Pasuk of Hashem Elokim Emes, instead of saying Emes with an Aleph, you missed that Aleph. It's as if it says Hashem Elokim is not here anymore. Or many times we have in the Torah the word V'yadaber Hashem. And instead of writing V'yadaber Hashem, you write an extra Vav, you write V'yadabru Hashem. Again, the repercussions are very significant. It represents as if there is more than one God speaking. Tysus gives a different example. Tysus goes back to the first words of the Torah. Tysus says, instead of writing Bereshis Boroi, would write Bereshis Boroi, Loshen Rabim. Again, very significant. It seems to represent that there's more than one God who created the world. The Maral asks on the Pshat of Rashi and Tysus that what Rashi and Tysus are concerned for is highly unlikely that you're going to add a letter or miss a letter. And therefore, he explains, since the entire existence of the world is based on the Torah, any deficiency in the Torah, whether not just in these words, in any word in the Torah, or any extra letter that you would put into the world of the Torah, represents Nimtzus Machvas Kol Olam Kulay, represents potential destruction of the world. For he explains that the entire world exists on the Torah, but it's only when the Torah is written properly. As the Ramban said, he takes a step further. The Ramban says that the entire Torah are Oishyos Shel Shemaisha Kadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is names of Hashem. And since the entire Torah are names of Hashem, we have to be careful, like we always are careful with the every Shem Hashem should be written and pronounced and treated properly. There's a very big machlokes rishonim. If a Sefer Torah is missing a letter, what is the status of that Sefer Torah? Most rishonim are of the opinion that you may not read from the Sefer Torah. And if you read from Sefer Torah, you have to redo the Kriyas HaTorah. However, Tosfos' opinion, Masechta Megillah Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Devarei Maskil B'Shlama, that if you have no other Sefer Torah, he says, you could use that Sefer Torah B'Dievid. He does interestingly say that somebody wants to Mekayim Mitzvahs Ksiva Sefer Torah, with a Sefer Torah that's not written properly, you're not Mekayim that Mitzvah. So ask the Maral, that our Gemara says that if you're missing a letter from the Sefer Torah, Nimtzus Machvas Kol Olam Kulay. He says, forget about that concern. If the Sefer Torah is posel, you're not yoytz the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah. So he answers that what our Gemara is teaching us is that we're referring to a situation where that Sefer Torah is not being used to read from. So since that Sefer Torah is not being used to read from, then there is no issue that the Sefer Torah is going to be used and you can't be Yotze Kriya Sefer Torah. Our Gemara is telling us that the actual existence of a Sefer Torah has to be complete. Otherwise, as we've been explaining, very significant repercussions. And I saw that pshat in the pasuk that we often say, Torah Hashem Tamima. When the Torah Hashem is Tamima, when the Torah Hashem is complete, that's when it's Meshivas Nafesh. But if the Torah is not complete, then it's not Meshivas Nafesh. Says the Gemara, Amati, so he was being given this instruction by Rav Shmuel, how careful he should be with his profession. Amati, to which I responded, Rabbi Meir says, Dov Echad Yeshli, I have a certain chemical, the Kankatam Shmoy, which is Kankatam, Shani Matal Toicha Diyoy, which I put into the ink, Omele V'chi Matilim Kankatam Toich Diyoy, may one put Kankatam into the ink, V'loi Omer Toira, the Toira says in the Parasha Soita, V'kosav Sa'oil Sa'el HaKoyim B'Sefer O'mocha Ameim Hamorim, the Toira says V'kosav O'mocha, Ksav Shiyoch Limchos, you only can write on with ink that is erasable. So Rashi explains what Rabbi Shmuel meant to say to him was that we have to write the Sefer Torah with ink, the Parsha Soita, with ink that can be erased. How could you be writing that Parsha with ink that can't be erased? Tosus disagrees. Tosus says that since that Rabbi Shmuel was saying to him that since you wrote it with such an, that since that Parsha cannot be written with such an ink, then the halacha is that the entire Torah cannot be written with such ink. We learn from the Parsha Soita that the entire Torah, just like that Parsha can't be written with erasable ink, so too can't the entire Torah be written with that type of ink. In fact, I saw a very interesting question where there was a Sefer Torah that was kidnapped, that was taken to Jordan, and it got tussled. And one of the people who were kidnapped with the Sefer Torah fixed it with ink that wasn't good ink. And since the ink wasn't good ink, the Sefer Torah became possible. The question now is, can this person who did this damage to the Sefer Torah be sued? Because it's really a hezek she'eda nikar. It was a hezek that isn't, that something you can't tell. It's not really a hezek that is visible. And the halacha is that a Sefer Torah that is written, a Sefer Torah that a hezek that's not visible is not considered a hezek. And the Paiskim say that this is considered a hezek sheda nikar, and the Sefer cannot be sued. Here we're learning that the Parsha Soita, which is written in the Torah, since that Parsha has to be erasable, that, said Rabbi Shmuel, you have to be careful not to write it that way. So I saw that just like we're learning that the Parsha Soita that's written in the Torah has to be written in a certain way, so we know that one of the most important halacha when we write Sefer Torah, when we write Tefillin and Mezuzahs, is that they have to be kesidron. The Sefer has to write each word in the proper order. And the question is that halacha also by Tefillin and Mezuzahs when you're writing those parashiyos in the Sefer Torah? If you're writing the parashiyos of Tefillin and Mezuzahs in the Sefer Torah, do we say that they potentially can be used for Tefillin and Mezuzahs? And since they could potentially be used for Tefillin and Mezuzahs, they have to be written kesidron, or they're not being written for Sefer Torah and for Tefillin Mezuzahs, and therefore they don't have to be written kesidron. The halacha is, it seems, that those parashas don't, that the halacha of kesidron does not necessarily apply to those parashas in the Torah. My Kamalei, says the Gemara, let's understand this dialogue between Rabbi Shmuel and Remeir. My Kamalei or my Kamahadalei? Says the Gemara, Hach Kamalei. Loi Mabaye, b'chaseris v'yaseris d'loi teina. Remeir was saying to Rabbi Shmuel, certainly I'm very careful not to add or miss a letter of the Torah. The Bakyani, I know all this proper spelling, the proper way to write a Sefer Torah. Ella, a fail of mechash lezvuv, even if you're going to be concerned about a worm that could be fall on the ink when it's wet while I'm writing the Sefer Torah, nami, we need not be concerned. Dilma Osi, we need not be concerned that maybe this worm will come for Yosef Akag the Dalad. We know the difference between a Dalad and a Reish is the Dalad on the right side has that little piece sticking out. Or Machvilei, and because the worm will go there, it'll cause that piece should get erased. Or Mashvilei Reish, and now instead of having a Dalad, we'll have a Reish. Because why don't I need to be concerned? Because Davar Echad Yishli, I have a special ingredient, the Kankatam Shemai, Shani Matlai Salatoch Adiyoi, that I put into the ink, and the way I saw two pshatim, and therefore the ink will never get erased, even if the worm falls on it. That's one pshat that I saw. The other pshat that I saw is that worms are repelled by that kankatam, and therefore we need not be concerned that the worm will fall on that ink. But ask the Gemara, Kasha Shimish Hashimis. The first Braisa says that Rabbi Meir first learned by Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went to Rabbi Kiva. The second Braisa says the first he learned by Rabbi Kiva, and then he learned by Rabbi Shmuel. And then we have another kasha, Osra. The Braisa says that the first Braisa seems to say there was Rabbi Kiva who held that you're not allowed to put kanketam into the ink. And the second Braisa seems to say that it was Rabbi Shmuel that held the kanketam may man not be put into the ink. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Shimish Shimish Lakasha. The question in what by whom did he study first and by whom did he study second? Lakasha could be resolved. Because Mikara Asla Kamid Rabbi Kiva, first he went to learn by Rabbi Kiva, Ubmadalai Matsum Lamekim Alibay, but Rabbi Kiva's shiurim apparently were very deep. And at that point, he wasn't able to understand those shiurim. So since he wasn't able to understand those shiurim, Osla Kameh Rabbi Shmuel, so he went to Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, the Gomer Gomra, and when he was studying Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, he came to understand the shiurim. And then, after because he learned a lot, and he became knowledgeable in a lot of Divrei Torah. And then, v'hada asla kamed Rabbi Kiva, and then he went back to Rabbi Kiva's yeshiva, v'sava savra, and he was able to understand those deep, penetrating shiurim. Ela asra asra, who is the one that held it? Says the Gemara, kasha. I don't know how to reconcile that, and the Gemara remains with a kasha. But as we've said previously in our shiurim, there's a difference when the Gemara asks a question and remains with a tiyufta, or remains with a kasha. When the Gemara uses the word tiyufta, it means that we don't have an answer to that question. When the Gemara uses the word kasha, then there's an answer to the question. So what's the so says the Agos Rav Elohim Moshe Horowitz, what is the teretz that we could suggest over here? That Rabbi Kiva, when he said that the kankantum is osur, he only said by Parsha Soita is the kankantum osur. But whether we're writing as Parsha Soito, or even when we're writing it in the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Shmuel, who said that Kanketam is Osir, he was saying that in all situations the Kanketam is Osir, not just in the Parsha Soito. Tanya, says the Gemara of Yehuda, Oimer, Remeya Oya Oimer, Kol Makil and Tankum Mekoycha Diyoy, in all times when you're writing a Sefer Torah, I could put this ingredient into the ink, chutz mi parasha soita, except for the parasha soita, which we learned earlier, may not be erasable. Rabbi Yaakov Akum Mishmai, chutz mi parasha soita shebe migdash. What he meant to say was that when they're writing the parasha soita in the Beis HaMikdash, there, when the Kohen writes that parasha, there you have to be careful not to put into it an ingredient that can make it not erasable. Says the Gemara, my benayu, what is the machloikus of Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, limchak loy mina Torah. Can you use the parsha of the Sefer Torah for the Soita? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can. Since you can, so you have to be careful not to write it in a way that it could be not erasable. According to Rabbi Yaakov, you can't use it for that purpose. So therefore, it doesn't bother me if it's written in a way that it's not erasable, because I'm not going to ever use it for the soita anyway. So if so, I sort of was trying to point out that the parasha soita is only written by a kohen. So let's say you'll have a sefer Torah that's written not by a kohen. This halacha should not apply, because it couldn't be used for a soita anyway. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that once the halacha is that the parsha soita in the Torah can't be written with an ink that can't be erased, that halacha remains under all circumstances, even in a situation where the Sefer Torah was written by a Yisrael. On the other hand, the Paiskim say, the Ritva already says it, that we do put kankikam into the yoy, and he says, especially Bizman Azeh, where there is no Parsha Soita, so this entire concern doesn't exist, and therefore we can write the entire Sefer Torah with ink that's not erasable. However, the Rambam disagrees, in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, he says, Mitzvah Namufcha, Lich Doi B'Tiyoy Shiyan Nimchet, to write with erasable ink. But he writes that if you wrote it with non-erasable ink, it's kosher. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yerideya Simresh Ein Aleph Sif Vav. Vani Tanoim, says the Gemara, this machloikis, if you could use the Parsha Soita that's written in the Sefer Torah for the Soita, is really a machloikis Tanoim. The Tanya, Emi Galosoi Ksheru Lahashkispa, Soita Acheres. You can't use the Parsha Soita was written for one woman, and then that woman admitted that she did an Avera, and they didn't end up using that Parsha. You can't use it for another Soita. So it's similar here. If you have to write it specifically for the Soita, so obviously when it was written as a Sefer Torah, it wasn't written for any specific Soita, and according to that Mandomer, you couldn't use it for a Soita. The comparison is not correct. Why? Because there was written for one woman whose name is Rachel. The halacha is sula hadra minintka l'shem Leia. It can't be used for another woman whose name is Leia. Avol gabe Torah. When we speak about a Sefer Torah, the stama mechtava, it wasn't written for any specific woman. Machakinon. There, you could use it for any woman, because as long as it wasn't written for one specific woman, it could be used for another woman. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, says Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, v'dim alohi, at kan l'kam rabach b'yosha hasam, ela de'ichta miyas l'shum soita b'olam. Perhaps if it was written for a soita, albeit not this woman, it was written for a different woman, that's why it's not an issue. Aval Torah, the Torah, the l'slamit k'siva, that was written for purpose of learning and not for the purpose of a soita, hachinami, the halacha will be the loy machkinon, that it can't be used for a soita. So as Rashi Masech the Soita explains, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak and Rav Papa have the same goal. The goal of both of them is to show that this machloikas that we had in our Gemara is not connected to the machloikas regarding using the Parsha Soita from one woman to another woman. They just get to it from different, they get to it in different directions. V'lesle Rav Achva Yashia asked the Gemara, does Rav Achva Yashia not agree with Hod Tanan that we learned in the Mishnah in Masech the Gittin? Kosev get Lagarsh Ishtoi. Somebody wrote a get to divorce his wife. V'nimlach, and then he changes his mind. U'matzah ben Iroi, and he finds somebody else who lives in the same town. And the reason we say about the same town, the halacha is because in the get, you have to write the name of the town. And therefore, if he's not from the same town, it wouldn't be a usable get. Vama, Shimcha Kishmi, your name and my name are the same. V'shem Ishtacha Kishem Ishti, and my wife and your name, wife, have the same name. The halacha is Posel Gashba. The halacha is the get has to be written Lishma. So isn't that the same din by, because the Torah says, the cost of law, Sefer Krisis. So the Torah uses similar wording when it speaks about the Parsha Soita. There the Torah says, V'asa lo ha-koyin. So ask the Gemara, how could a Parsha Soita that wasn't written specifically for that woman be a kashura Parsha Soita? Answers the Gemara, we cannot compare the two halachas. Hachi hashta, hasam, by the Parsha of the Gittin, the Torah says, V'kosav lo k'siv, the be'inan k'shiv l'shma. We need that it should be written l'shma. Hacha, the Torah says, the cost of loksiv, bin asi l'shma, the seah has to be done l'shma. But what does that seah refer to? Mechikihi, the erasing. The erasing indeed has to be done in the name of that woman. Anything else is not, that's the only place where l'shma is required. And therefore, if it was written for one woman or it was written in a Sefer Torah, it doesn't necessarily disqualify it. Says the Gemara, Amar of Acha b'Chanina. There was nobody in the lifetime of Ramea as great as Ramea. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara. Why was the halacha not like him in all areas if he's so great? Says the Gemara, because they really couldn't always understand him. Because he used to say on something that's Tameh's Tahor or Marilei Plumen and give an explanation why it should be Tahor when it's really Tameh. Al Tahor Tameh, and when he found something that's Tahor, he would say it's Tameh or Marilei Plumen. So what was happening here was that certainly he didn't go against the Halacha, but because when he spoke with such depth and he gave so many explanations, the Talmidim weren't quite sure what is the Halacha. And therefore, because the Talmidim weren't always sure what is the Halacha, that's why they couldn't pass like him. So it's very interesting. That you look in any Chumash, the Torah says, when the Torah speaks about Shrotzim in Sefer VeYikra, the Torah writes the word Kol Hoylech Al Gochoim, Gimel Ches Vov Nun, and the Torah says that Gochoim is Chatzi Torah Boisius. Gochoim represents the midpoint of all the words in the Torah. And this is printed on all the Chumashim. And the question is, why is this such an important fact that we need to know that Gochoim is the midpoint of the Torah? So I saw that's based on this Gemara. Gochoim represents the Shrotzim that are Tahor and Tamei. And as we just said, Ramei had reasons to say why it's Tamei and when it's Tahor. So it's the midpoint. You could explain it this way and you could explain it that way, why this is the word, like our Gemara just said, that's what we could speak about. That's what we could understand when Ramei gave his shiur. Tana loy Ramei Shmai. Says the Gemara, his name was not really Ramei. Ela Reb Neroi Shmai. His name was really Reb Neroi. Ask the Gemara, V'lam Nikra Shmai Ramei. So then why was he called Ramei? Says the Gemara, Shumer Einech Chom Balocha. He was so tremendous in Halacha. His shiurim was so deep and penetrating that everybody who learned by him, he opened up his eyes to understand the sugya. Says the Gemara further, Loi Neroi Shmai. Not Neroi was his name, Ela Reb Nechemi Shmai. Vermelei Reb Lezer Ben Aroch Shmai. V'lam Nikra Neroi, because Menar Einech Chom Balocha. He was so great in areas of Halacha. So there's a machlokes here, how to understand this Gemara. Some say that the Gemara is speaking all about the same person. The Remeir, Reb Neroi, all of these individuals were the exact same individual, and he was called this way because Meir and Aroi. So the Mashah explains, here we started the Gemara by saying that when Remeir gave a shiur, they couldn't understand what he said. And now we're saying that he was Meir Eine Chacham Be'alocha, that he was the great Talmud Chacham. So he says, the Mashah explains, that for one to be able to really come to the Halacha, one has to have a deep understanding of the Gemara. And the fact that he was able to come to that deep understanding, that's what made him so great. Says the Gemara, Amr Rebbe, Haide Mechadidnei Mi Chavroi, this that I'm greater than everybody else, the Chazite Rameya Machari, I saw Rameya from his back. V'il Chazite Mi Kamei, had I seen him from the front, I would have a mechadidna tfei. I would even be a bigger talmid chacham. The ksiv v'haya necharoyes merecha. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that Rameir, that when they sat in the shir, your seat and the shir was dependent on who you were. And Rebbe, when he was learning by Rameir, was still sitting behind Rameir. That wasn't considered a great seat. And that's why he only saw him from the back. And when he got, he says, had I seen my Rebbe from up front, it would even be greater. And as the Mashah explains, that a Talmud who has the ability to see his Rebbe will grow in his learning better. Why? So he explains, because we know when somebody speaks, he makes facial expressions. And those facial expressions are critical in the way he expresses himself and the way that he can be understood. So that's why if I would have seen him, I would even be greater. Another pshat that I saw is that when a Talmud Chacham gives a shir, there's an Or HaTorah that emanates from his face. And that Or HaTorah is missing if you don't see the Rebbe from his front. Rabbi Shua Mikutna explains what he meant to say. He explains it homiletically. He says, I only learned from Rabbi Meir Mechoyre, how to run away from Aveira. But if I would have learned from my Rebbe how to do a mitzvah, I would even be greater. I also saw a question, la'aloch l'maisa. We know that the aloch is that if somebody sees a Talmud Chacham, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen Reish Chof Dalid, Sif Vav, says you have to make a bracha, Shecholot Mechachmasai L'Reyav. The question is, if you only saw the back of a Rebbe, would you make that bracha or not? So the Cheshukei Chemed discusses the Shaila. He says that it seems that that's not considered the Ria. It's not considered really seeing a Talmud Chacham. He says what it means to say is that when you see a Talmud Chacham, it has a tremendous hashpah on you. It has a tremendous influence on you. But that influence is only accomplished when you see him in the front. But when you don't see his face, that hashpah isn't there. And since that hashpah is not there, you don't make the bracha. Our Gemara here speaks about the greatness of Rav Meir. So when we learn this Gemara and we speak about the greatness of Rav Meir, we understand why when people need to give tzedakah, the minig ha'olam, many people have the minig to give tzedakah Rav Meir balanes. And they say, elekah demei aneini, elekah demei aneini. Others say that if somebody loses something, they should give tzedakah to tzedakah Meir balanes, and they should say, elekah demei aneini, elekah demei aneini. And they should continue saying, V'yazli shiemtso shachziru li b'mehera es ha'aveda shavavarati b'schusa shani menadev tzach tzedakah l'ilu nishmasa shramei balanes zoch l'toiv. And the reason we do it, one of the reasons we give it, is because of what we're learning in our Gemara. Because our Gemara is teaching us Ramei Balanes was Nehoroi. He gave off this light. He gave off the shine. He was such a great Talmud Chacham, and he was also able to follow, to give us the ability to see what we can't see. And therefore, giving stock for Ramei Balanes in all the generations has had such a powerful effect. Continues the Gemara, Amar Bavua, Amar Yochanan. Talmud Hayole Ramei. Ramei had a Talmud with Sumcha Shemai. Whenever there was a question of Tuma, he used to say, 48 reasons why it should be Tuma. 48 reasons. So, Taisus asks that, not that he was trying to say that it was Tuma Yotar. Again, he was just trying to give an explanation. And the Mashar takes this a step further. He says, we know that it says that regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, v'tachsireyu me'at malikim, he was taking just a drop less than Hashem. What does that mean? So it's always meant to say that there's nun shari bina, the 50 shorim of intelligence. Moshe Rabbeinu was v'tachsireyu, he was short one. He had 49. This Talmud was just a drop below Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had, as the Gemara says, 48. That's what the Gemara means when it says 48. Tana, continues the Gemara, Talmud Vosa Koye B'Yavna. There was a Choshva Talmud Chochem in Yavna, Shoyim Taras Asheretz, that would give Mei V'Chamishim Tamim, that would give 150 reasons why Asheretz should be Tahor. I'll give you one reason. There's nothing that represents tumah more than Rachman Tzlan, death. And even though nachash brings death to the world, so it's marba tumah. So the nachash brings tumah to the world, and still it doesn't. A nachash when it dies is not one of the shrotzim that is tumah. Sheretz. So certainly a sheretz she'ena marba memus that doesn't kill people ve'ena marba tumah and doesn't bring tumma to the world, certainly like Kalshkein, that it doesn't represent, that shouldn't be tumay, says the Gemara, v'loihi. The reasoning is incorrect, because ma'isa kotz ba'alma kovid, what the nachash does, it's just not any more than a thorn. It's not that the nachash brings the death, it's just that the venom brings the death. And therefore, nachash doesn't represent tumma that we should learn this from here. And what is the lesson of this Gemara? So I saw that Reb Simcha Zisel from Kelim teaches us that the Gemara is coming to teach us that one shouldn't think that I'm smart and that I know what the halacha should be. What he has to do is that accept what the Torah says. Even though he has 150 reasons to believe what he's saying is accurate, don't just rely on what you think the halacha is. Rather, you have to do what we know is taught to us is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba, Amar Shmuel. Shol l'shonam nechluku b'sham and b'sillu. There was a machlokes for 3 years between b'sham and b'sillu. Who does the halacha follow? Halala Amar halacha k'maseinu. They said the halacha is like us. Halala Amar halacha k'maseinu. The halacha is like us. And says the Gemara, Yotzu b'asko v'amru. Elu v'elu divrel k'mchayim heim. They both represent the emes. But halacha beis hillel, the halacha is like beis hillel. So ask the Gemara, me'achash elu ve'elu v'dereil k'mchayim, if both of them are correct, why ne'ma zocha beis hillel k'fay halacha k'maisam? Why is the halacha like beis hillel? And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the halacha is like beis shammai, like beis hillel, because they are the roif, and we always go bas roif. So explain the Rishonim, that even though Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel was the Roiv, the halacha is that the reality was that Beis Shammai was Mechadad De Tvei. They were sharper. And because they're sharper, that's why we would think that the halacha should go like them. Teaches us the Gemara that the halacha is Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara, name Azocha Beis Hillel, Kvay halacha k'maisam. Why indeed was the halacha like Beis Hillel? Says the Gemara, Neishan Noichim Valuvim. They were very nice and they were modest. The shoinim devreim devrei beis shammai. And whenever they said something, they didn't only try to understand their opinion, they also tried to understand beis shammai's opinion. So what that means is that since they tried to understand beis shammai's opinion, they meant to try to get to the depths of the halacha. When you really try to get to the depth of the halacha, that's when the halacha is like you. V'loyoid, not only did they try to understand Beis Shammai's opinion, they first tried to understand Beis Shammai's opinion before their own opinion. Like we find the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. The Mishnah says, Misha Yerosh V'Rub B'Sukkah, most of his body is in the Sukkah, V'Shulchanim B'Soich HaBayis, but his table is in the home. Beis Shammai Paislim. Beis Shammai says it's not a kosher sukkah. We're concerned that he may follow his table and eat indoors. Beisil machsherim. Amar Beisil Beis Shammai. Loi kacha yomaisa. Wasn't there an episode? Shaholcha zikna Beis Shammai zikna Beisilol. Levakis Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanis. They went to visit him on Sukkos. Umatzu yoshi roish v'rubu sukkah v'shulchana b'soich habayis. So you see that it's a kosher sukkah. Misham Raya, you want to bring a raya from that episode? Af hein amrloi. Indeed, the zakeim told Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanis, im kach ha'yisa noyig, if that's the way you constructed your sukkah, like kiyamta sukkah miyamecha, you never fulfilled mitzvah sukkah. Lalamdecha. What do we learn from this, says the Gemara? Shekol ha'mashpel atzmai. Somebody who treats himself in a modest fashion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbiyoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will raise him up. Shekol ha'magbiyah atzmai. But somebody who's arrogant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meshziroi. Shekol ha'machzach ha'gdula. Somebody who wants to get a position of prominence, gedula barachz b'menu. It will run away from him. However, Kolab Rechman Gdul, he doesn't run after that position, Gdula Machzer Acharov will get that position. Shekol Adoichik Seshah, somebody who can't wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the right time and the right place for everything to happen. Shodach Kasai will be pushed away if he tries to push it. The Kol HaNitchav Neshah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready. He waits for when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him it's the right time to do it. Shai Medesla, that he will be successful in that the right thing will happen to him at the right time, at the right place. So our Gemara explained the concept of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. So how do we understand? How can both positions be correct? So one explanation I saw is it's comparable to electricity. If you stick a heater into a plug, it'll give off heat. If you'll stick a refrigerator into a plug, it'll give off cold air. The way every Dvar Torah comes from a different place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the Divrei Torah that it should be said right. So our Gemara says that what made Beis Hillel that the halacha should be correct is because they were so modest. What does modesty have to do with it? So I saw that the Kozlov Gavarov explains the fact that somebody is modest, the fact that somebody is humble, shows that they look at everything, just what is the emes. And since there are people who are only looking for the emes, those are the people that the halacha follows. Here the Gemara said, "Kol machzer acha gedula gedula berechas mimenu, v'kol reich mina gedula gedula machzeres achrav." So the Chofetz Chaim asks, so they're both in the same place. The machzer acha gedula gedula berechas mimenu, and somebody runs away from the gedula follows him. So the Chofetz Chaim said as follows: somebody who's modest and learns Torah and doesn't consider himself a great person, Gedula Machzeres Achrov, after he will leave the world, people will still speak about what a great person he was. Whereas the person who in his whole life was trying to just get covered and just get honor, when he, Chas V'Sholem, leaves the world, nobody will speak about him anymore. There won't be a zecher to what he did in this world. Tara Baran. There was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel for 2.5 years. It's better that the person should have not been created. It's better that he should have been created. Nimnu v'gamru, and they took a vote. And the vote came out, it would have been better that he shouldn't have been created. As the Makshah explains, because there's more mitzvahs loisa say than there mitzvahs asay. However, ach shenivra yifashvish b'masav. He should look at what he's done and do tshuva on what he's done in the past. V'amiloi, others say yimashvish b'masav. Don't focus on the past, focus on the future. But the Mesilas Yesharim has a different pshat. He says the difference is yifashvish b'masav is check your averis. What averis did you do? And your mashmish matzav means look at your mitzvahs. Even when we do mitzvahs, we don't necessarily always do mitzvahs properly. And what our obligation to do is to do, even to make sure that we should do mitzvahs in the future. Our mitzvahs and our Torah should also be done in a much better way.